In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I need to start by apologizing. I've been sick the last few days, and I'm finally on the upswing, but my voice has decided that it's going to take a break today. So hopefully you guys can hear me, and my voice will last the whole sermon. About a year and a half ago, I cast a vision for our congregation. Now, I said we could be about maintenance, about doing what we've always done, about maintaining the status quo, as it were, or we could be about mission, about following where the Lord leads us, and about stepping out in faith. And the congregation overwhelmingly decided that we wanted to be a missional church. And so we brought Father Nathaniel on board full time, and we started putting some things in place so that we could move firmly in that direction. And it's been a very exciting year and a half. Just over the last year, our church has grown by over 20%. Our children's program has expanded, and it's growing, and our children are receiving the gospel of Christ. Our members are going deeper, and they're growing stronger in their faith. But being missional means that we're always looking ahead to the next challenge. It means that we're always looking to follow the Good Shepherd where He leads us. And I firmly believe that He is continuing to call us forward as we discover what it truly means to be a missional community for Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is building on the theme of what it means for Him to be the Good Shepherd. And starting in verse 27, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." So I'd like to use these couple of verses this morning to look at what the Lord is calling us to do, and more importantly, who He is calling us to be as a congregation. Now Jesus begins verse 27 by saying, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." Now, sheep have an amazing auditory memory. If you have two groups of sheep that are mingled together, all you need to do to separate them out is to have their shepherds call to them. And the sheep will follow the voice of their individual shepherd. It's because they spend so much time with that shepherd listening to His voice that it actually gets imprinted on their tiny little sheep minds. And so when they hear His voice, they immediately recognize it and they simply follow it. Now for Jesus to be our shepherd, we need to be able to recognize His voice, to know Him when He calls us. Now if we're able to recognize and know His, if we are to be able to recognize and know His voice, we need to spend time with Him every day in scripture reading, prayer, worship, and study. I've often had people tell me, "Well, I never hear God in my life." And I ask them, "Well, how much time do you spend in scripture and prayer every day?" They say, "Well, I don't really have time for that." I said, "That's why you can't hear. You're not spending time with the shepherd, so you can't recognize His voice." But when we spend time with Him on a daily basis, reading our Bibles and praying and worshiping Him together and studying His Word, His voice actually becomes imprinted on our own hearts and minds so that we not only recognize Him when He calls us, but we also know how to distinguish the voices of false shepherds in our lives. But notice that Jesus also says, "I know them." So this is a two-way relationship. Just as the shepherd knows each individual sheep in his flock, Jesus knows each and every one of us intimately and personally. Jesus knows exactly who we are, what we need, and what He has called us to do. Now, the result of this relationship where we know the voice of the shepherd and the shepherd knows us is that we follow Him. And this implies a deep level of trust on the part of the sheep. When a shepherd goes to move his flock, oftentimes the reasons are hidden from the sheep. All the sheep sees is there's nice green grass right here. Why do we need to go? I'm perfectly happy where I am. I think I'll just stay here. But often the shepherd will move the sheep because there's a wolf in the pasture and he needs to move them to safety. Or it could be that the sheep are in danger of overgrazing a particular field, and so they need to move on to greener pastures elsewhere. But while the reasons are not always immediately obvious to the sheep, they trust that the shepherd has their best interest at heart. Now, a friend of mine was a helicopter pilot in the Army many years ago. And one day he was flying a combat mission, and his commanding officer told him over the radio to immediately fly to a particular altitude and a particular pitch. Now, the instructions, at least from the pilot's perspective, made absolutely no sense. But because he knew the voice of the person who was talking to him, he simply did as he was told. He didn't stop and question. He didn't ask for further explanation. He just did it. And as soon as he moved, a rocket went right over top of his helicopter and right underneath. So had he waited, had he questioned, had he sort of made second guesses, he would have been killed. But he trusted the person on the other end of that radio because he recognized his voice. And he knew that that person had his best interest at heart. And in the same way, the more we know our shepherd's voice, the more we will be able to trust him, even at times when what he's calling us to might not make sense to us. Finally, Jesus is clear that the ultimate goal of following him as the Good Shepherd is not simply greener pastures or individual fulfillment, but it's actually eternal life. I've heard a lot of excuses from people as to why they don't go to church. When you wear a clerical collar on an airplane or at a wedding reception, people will often try to justify their lack of religious participation to you. So I've heard it all. Oftentimes people will tell me, well, I don't need God or religion to teach me how to be a good person. I can do that on my own. Well, maybe, maybe not. But the primary purpose of being a Christian is actually not to make us nice, well-behaved people. Now others will tell me that, well, I've found happiness in other places, like my job, or my play, or my family, or my success. And perhaps they have. But the primary purpose of our Christian faith actually isn't to make us happy people. The primary reason to follow Jesus Christ is that only He can restore us to our original purpose in creation. You see, we weren't created just to be happy or just to be good. We were created by God to live for eternity in relationship with our Creator. That is our telos. But because of sin and rebellion, we're not able to live into that intention. Only Jesus can restore us to this original purpose. When we follow the Good Shepherd, we find something greater than simply happiness or good behavior. We are given eternal life in God's presence. We are restored to our original pre-fall condition. So this is not just one valid choice amongst many other valid choices for fulfillment in the here and now, following the Good Shepherd is literally a matter of life and death. And it's about much more than our own individual salvation. It's not just about me. It's about sharing that gift with others so that they too might find eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm pretty sure I've used this example from the pulpit before, and I'll probably use it again. But imagine that you were playing with your home chemistry set and you stumbled upon the cure for cancer. Now, I'm not talking about the barbaric things we do today like radiation or chemotherapy, but I'm talking about a simple pill that you give to anyone with any form of cancer and they are instantly cured. That would be pretty great. So what would you do with that new knowledge? Would you say, I've discovered the cure for cancer, but it's really kind of personal and private. And so I'll take it, and some people in my family will take it, but I don't want to push it on anyone. I might offend someone. Maybe they don't want to think that they have cancer. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. Probably not. I'm willing to bet we would all become the biggest evangelists for this new medicine. We'd be shouting it from the rooftops. Hey, everyone, I've got the cure to cancer. All you have to do is take this pill. I'm not even going to charge you for it. Well, as Christians, we don't have the cure for cancer, but we have something better. We actually have the cure for death itself. It's not a pill, but rather a person, Jesus Christ. When we look out at the world around us, we see so many people dying in their sins. We need to have a sense of urgency to share with them this incredible gift that we possess. Now, with that scriptural background in mind, I'd like to do a bit more vision casting for our congregation. A couple of weeks ago, Canon Chris Sorensen was here to talk about the possibility of planting a new congregation in Springfield. And during that time, we started to get a glimpse of where God is calling us. And so this morning, I'd like to give you a sense of the landscape that we're being drawn to. Now, to begin with, I look around and I see a group of people who know how to hear the voice of their shepherd. The people of All Saints have a spiritual hunger to not just know about Jesus, but to know Him intimately. We come to know Him through the liturgy, through the reading of His Word, and through the sacrament of His body and blood. We come to know Him in our classes and in our Bible studies. We come to know Him in our fellowship and in our prayer time. You see, we're not a Jesus fan club where we simply know about Jesus. We're a family where Jesus Christ is the head. That's a big difference. And just as we know Jesus, He knows us, and He has been preparing us as a congregation for just such a moment as this. We have an amazing facility that communicates the beauty and the grandeur of God in a way that not many buildings in Springfield can. We have a vestry that is committed to reaching out to the lost and expanding the kingdom of God. And we have a congregation that seeks His guidance and the Holy Spirit in all that we do. We have visionaries on our vestry like John Hutchinson and Jane Robison who know how to dream big. And we have the detail-oriented pragmatists like Craig Lothridge and Mike Allen who know how to take a big dream and turn it into an orderly reality. What's even more interesting is the clergy team that the Lord has assembled here at All Saints. As far as personality types go, Father Nathaniel and I are actually quite different. He's certainly not a carbon copy of me. And oftentimes, pastors will do that. They will hire someone that looks just like them, and so you just sort of get senior pastor 2.0. That's not the case with Father Nathaniel and I tend to be a stabilizer, and Father Nathaniel tends to be an innovator. Now, that has a tendency to be a very volatile combination. But one of the things that we've discovered is that we actually thrive off of that diversity. We believe that this tension can not only be healthy, but also life-giving for our congregation. This sort of constant push and pull of our individual gifts ensures that we don't, on the one hand, become stagnant, while on the other hand, we don't become overly disruptive. With the recent addition to our clergy staff of Deacon Amy, who has a passion for reaching the lost for Jesus Christ, the stage has been set here to do something truly amazing. So over the coming weeks and months, the clergy and the Vestry of All Saints will begin to hammer out what a new missional community of faith here in Springfield might look like. And we're very excited and eager, but we want to make sure we have a clear and concise plan before we start sharing some of these ideas with the congregation. But rest assured, we're not embarking on some new and radical concept. This isn't some strange idea that Father Nathaniel and I came up with on a whim. It's actually something that the founders of All Saints put into the original mission statement of the church. Now, according to this mission statement, which you can find on our website, the mission of All Saints Anglican Church is, number one, draw to a living faith in Jesus Christ those who do not yet believe. Number two, fan to life the fires of faith in those whose first love for Jesus Christ has cooled. And number three, provide a home for Christians seeking a congregational life that is firmly rooted in biblical faithfulness as the Anglican Communion has received it. Now, the clergy and the vestry, we use this mission statement to guide us in our decision-making and in our actions. And one of the things that I've noticed in looking through this past week is that we've actually been doing it kind of in reverse order. All Saints was founded by a group of Anglican Christians who needed a home where they could worship the Lord, firmly rooted in biblical faithfulness and Anglican tradition. And since then, we have attracted to our community many people from other traditions who have either fallen away from their faith or who have been wounded by other Christian communities. And it's been really exciting to see these people come back to faith, to see that fire rekindled in their hearts, to see their relationship with Jesus Christ grow and deepen as a result. And now, we are being called to follow the Good Shepherd by seeking out the lost and drawing them into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this is a big step for us, but it's one that the Lord called us to a long time ago. And He's been preparing us these many years for a time such as this. This is not about getting new members so that we can increase the size of this particular flock. We're not talking here about church growth. We're talking about kingdom growth. It's a very different concept. And it is literally a matter of life and death. There are people here in Springfield who are dying without Christ this very minute. We're being called to throw them a lifeline, to introduce them to the Good Shepherd. We are being called to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an incredible privilege God gives us in allowing us to do this incredible work on His behalf. So in the weeks and months to come, pray for our clergy and our vestry as we discern where God is leading us. Pray for the people of All Saints that we might have the courage to follow where the Good Shepherd leads us. And pray for those around us who are lost, that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and follow Him as one of His sheep. Amen.